We're back on News Radio KMAN's In Focus. We're talking today with Chamber President and CEO Jason Smith. Of course, a lot of things being impacted right now due to the ongoing health crisis with the coronavirus. Let's talk about some other things here that may have been some kind of unintended circumstances with coronavirus. And, you know, I think a lot of folks see now more of a national awareness of the National Bio and Agri Defense Facility and maybe what role it's going to play in the future.
Yeah, this circulated a little bit, but there was a national article about how, and it specifically said the future of being able to battle pandemics will rely on Manhattan, Kansas. And, we talk all the time about earned media versus purchased media, and having a national publication like The Hill, which is one of the most relevant national policy publications in the country, identify Manhattan, Kansas, and MBAF as being critical for the future of being able to battle some of these particularly animal-based viruses and stopping what we're currently going through is an unfortunate but good for our region opportunity, I think, to promote Manhattan as an area where people can people should come and be a part of the ecosystem here so that they can engage in research and product development for ways to protect us in the future. And I think that as we see a lot of these large biotech companies who previously weren't that interested in vaccines and previously didn't pay as much attention to animal health, that are now seeing what happens if we're not prepared for those kind of things. I also think that maybe you get some of those businesses that take a look, not just at Manhattan, but the entire animal health corridor, and say, well, what's going on there, and let's tap into the talent, let's tap into the research, let's tap into the ecosystem and be a bigger part of that. So just as we prepare for life after reopening, we are engaging with our partners to launch a huge awareness campaign so that people across the country and hopefully across the world start identifying Manhattan, Kansas as the center for preventing future pandemics. And that is obviously, I think, a major opportunity for us as we move forward in our economic development ventures. I think one of the other things that has come out of this that I think we all have to be aware of as we're doing our economic development strategies and planning, there's been a lot of conversation about how do we handle manufacturing going forward, and are we comfortable with all the things that we have manufacturing overseas and being reliant on foreign governments to make sure that we have the necessary supplies to make it through not just medical crises but other crises. And I think it's clear that the way it is right now is not a great strategy going forward. So we think there could potentially be a shift to onshore more of the manufacturing that's going on right now. So as a community, I think we have to evaluate our resources and our infrastructure and say, would we be ready to handle an opportunity that maybe came out of that increased activity? We have said for a number of years, this predates me, that we are not up to what our competitors are in terms of having available sites and buildings. That does not mean necessarily that I think you have to evaluate how much you're willing to invest to have those things in place. But we are now starting the process of identifying potential sites in the Manhattan area that might be suitable for attracting new high-tech manufacturing that potentially could be coming back to the United States as we prepare for future problems and future disasters.
Well, yeah, I mean, you just get to think it long term here. There's a potential for an economic boom here down the road if we start developing some research into vaccines for these pandemics, and how great would it be if Manhattan could be at the center of that?
And I think we have a tremendous opportunity for that to happen. It was interesting. I just passed my 1 year anniversary and being in Manhattan, MBAF, even when I was in other communities, we were all aware of when MBAF landed in Kansas State, in Manhattan and at Kansas State. And there's been since 2009, which is when that initially announced, there's been a wide variety of speculation as to what the impact of that eventually would be. We know that they've invested by the end of the project, will have invested $1.2 billion. We know that there'll be roughly 400 staff people that will be there, that will be stationed there once it's finished. But past that, I think a lot of it was speculation, and I heard people say they thought it was going to be in the thousands, and I heard people who said that they didn't anticipate it was going to be a significant amount more than the 400 that were there. I think what we've discovered through this process is there are opportunities that I don't think that we were aware of even 2-3 months ago, because the attention of the federal government, the attention of private industry is now focused on the specific items that MBAF is charged with helping resolve for us in this country. And so it can't help but be a positive in that manner. Obviously, we would not trade going through what we're going through now for that positive thing to happen. I mean, if you could go back, we obviously would say, let's we don't want to go through this for that to happen. But if we are going to have to go through it, then I think as a community, we need to try to figure out what positives can we take out of it. And that certainly is one.
Yeah. Well, and in your role, you kind of have to be a forward thinker, it's kind of your whole basis there.
Yeah. That's one of the challenges in economic development generally is you always have to have one foot in the present and one foot in the future. And those sometimes can be conflicting, and it makes things really challenging as when you're a staff person or a volunteer leader for those kind of organizations, is because unfortunately sometimes there are two right answers and two wrong answers, and you have to make a decision. And in this case, our number one goal today is to do everything we can in our capacity to keep our businesses open. Obviously, we have limitations financially. We have limitations staff-wise. I am very proud of our team, because they have delved into the programs and they have tried to do their best to understand the things that are available, so that they can relay those to our businesses who reach out to us for help. And we've talked to nearly 1,000 businesses in the last month about what's going on, and continue to talk to more on a daily basis, and have been able to help people get connected to programs that at least keep them afloat currently. But at the same time, we also have to be thinking about what happens as we come out. And that's not just on the economic development side, but as you know, and Dave knows, we're charged with managing the tourism program for Manhattan as well. As well as what are policy initiatives that we need to start thinking about? What are policy initiatives that may come into effect because of the pandemic that aren't as that may inhibit growth of our business community and growth of Manhattan, and make sure that we are aware of what the impact of that is and ways that we might can at least limit that impact.
I drove by one of our hotels here in town a week or so ago and noticed that they had closed temporarily. And it's not too surprising because there's just not a lot of travel going on right now. But for the hotel business, I mean, the impact goes maybe even a little deeper than some of these other businesses, because they really rely on, conferences and people traveling here.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers are awful, and we probably are running about 15 to 20% of where they normally run. We have some people that are still here during the week who maybe are working on construction projects or what have you, and are coming in and staying during the week. But all the weekend traffic basically is gone. Anything related, of course, to Kansas State and Fort Riley is pretty much gone. And there is absolutely no meetings going on, and there is no visitors. So, we have a couple of hotels who have closed temporarily, hopefully, and the occupancy rates at the other ones are terrible. Our attractions are all closed, right? So, any revenues that they may be making are challenging. Some of those are private industry, and those are just getting crushed. And the ones that are operated by public agencies, I mean, they're going to have to look at how they proceed moving forward. And you see already the city has decided to keep their attractions closed for the summer, as well as the swimming, as well as the sporting leagues, and that impacts the hotels even more. And so, we're going to have to think really hard about how to get a spark and get people not only back in restaurants but back in hotels. And what makes that even harder is that, as most people know, we fund our tourism promotion through the hotel motel tax. And so it's sort of something, and I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm just laughing to keep from crying. In order to get the hotels full again, and we have to promote Manhattan for tourism, but our tourism budget is cut enormously because we don't have any hotel motel visitors. So that is something that our CVB team and our volunteer leadership and the city leadership are going to have some real hard conversations about over the next 6 to 9 months, because we are going to be limited in our capacity to promote tourism because tourism's down.
Yeah, there's just there's not a whole lot of lifelines available right now for those folks, unfortunately, and I just got to hope that we get through this pretty quickly.
Now the good thing is our CVB team has been in contact with every meeting and event that was scheduled. This was early on, scheduled March through June, and we are working with any of those meetings that are canceling or have canceled to try to get them scheduled to a new date. And there are a number of those, and Karen will be giving her CVB report at the City Commission on the 21st. But there's a number she's going to talk about. There's a number of those that have rescheduled. There's a number of others that we are continuing to work with and hope we can get a rescheduled date. There's a number of those that maybe aren't yearly things that come to Manhattan every year that we're saying we'll come back in 21, or if you've already scheduled 21, come back in 22. And there have been one or two of those that have pushed some things back in their normal rotation so that they could come to Manhattan in 21. So that staff is working really hard to try to at least get the events that were already scheduled to be here to come back. And so if we can keep our other events, then maybe we can see an uptick when things get back to normal. We obviously are paying attention, and I think everybody in the community will be paying attention to what universities do in the fall, and particularly what happens with football season. And so because the fall football season is a big revenue producer for our tourism industry, and of course school being back in, I think we'll get a boost back starting in August. And so we're watching very closely what happens there as well. And I think that'll be I have enormous amount of respect and confidence in the Kansas State administration. I just think a lot of that's going to be decided out of some of the other state governments, NCAA. I mean, it's going to be decided outside of Manhattan and even Kansas in some cases. And so That's going to be, I think that'll be a interesting thing for Manhattan and how we move forward is what happens at Kansas State in the fall.
Yeah, no doubt. A lot of they drive a lot in this community for sure. Let's take a break. We'll come back more with Jason Smith. We'll wrap up our conversation after this on In Focus, News Radio KMAN.